Well, good morning. Happy Father's Day again. For those of you that don't know, my name is Greg Robbins, and I'm one of the leaders here within the men's ministry and at Santa Clara First Baptist Church. And it is my honor and privilege to be here today sharing the message with you. Today's message, I've titled it, is Life is a Highway, and I asked Mr. Chris McGlennigan to put a little video together for me and just to kind of see the different signs that we come across in our everyday life. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. And I'll go into a little bit more detail as we continue on about how this came about. But for each of us, we have a journey. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a journey that we're working with Him and by Him and walking alongside Him. And we don't know where we're going all the time, and maybe there's places that we just might not know that we have the capabilities of going. But what is constant and wonderful is that if you've accepted Jesus, He's with you on this journey. You'll see when we go on journeys in the real world and we're walking and driving, we have many signs that we come across. And so I thought usually Rich starts off with a little quiz or a little pop quiz type of thing. So I just thought I'd try something a little. It's very easy, folks. There's no. I'm going to put up some signs. I've blocked out part of them. It's like a logo quiz, and you got to see if you can figure out what it is. So go ahead and put the first one up, Chris. Pretty self-explanatory, right? Yeah. Go ahead. Yep. Number two. What can Brown do for you? To the next one, I apologize to my friends that are fans. Go ahead. There you go, yeah. I thought they were going to go farther this year. I really did. The last one's not really a sign, but it is a symbol that we use. The church. So, a little background about how or why I want to present this message today. It's been over a year now. June 5th was 1 year where I lost my job. I worked for a retail banking company for 21 years. And during this last year, I've had a lot of good times and a lot of bad times, some ups and downs, more ups than downs. But early on, during one of the down times, I was doing one of the things that I like to do when I'm not feeling really connected, and I like to go driving. And I get in the car, or if I'm going somewhere, going to pick up the kids, this is my time when I really commune with God, and I share with God, and I pray to God. And I just want to clarify that I'm not closing my eyes while I'm praying with God, while I'm on the road. My eyes are fully awake. You can be just as functional praying to God with your eyes open, but I don't want you to try this at home. But I was going down a road that I'd been down many times before, and I had just finished praying to God, and I was asking Him, God, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing right now? What is it that I need to be doing in my life? I've lost my job. I'm feeling out of sorts. I don't know where I'm going. And after I was done praying, I'm driving down the road, and one of the first things I saw was, slow down. Oh, we have waving hands. Did it freeze? We're frozen. It's okay. So imagine a sign that says, slow down. It's okay. We're having some technical difficulties. Now, like I said, I've driven down this path many times before, but this sign just seemed to have a different meaning, a different significance to me. And there's more to that story that I'll get to in a little bit, but it was really interesting to me that God answered my prayer to me right then and there. And as I went home and I continued to pray about this and continued to contemplate this, I started thinking about, well, there's other signs that are out there that we see every day, and I wonder if they have any special meaning. And I continued to pray, and God said, you know what, Greg, I want you to share these signs. I want you to share this with the people. Because I think that maybe, just maybe, if God's telling me to do it, somebody here today needs to hear this. And I have the opportunity to share today. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a little journey. We're going to pretend that we're going down the road of life, and God is with us in the car, and He's going to talk to us through some signs. So the first part of a journey, you always kind of need to know is where you're going or what you're doing. Now, when you plan a vacation, you know where you're going. Not necessarily, you don't necessarily know where you're going when you start your journey with Christ. But the one key factor is that you need to proceed to go. You need to proceed to move. You can't just sit idle and wait for something to happen. And it's very important for this because God has asked us to have an intimate relationship with Him. Can you imagine if you had a relationship with somebody and you just did nothing? You just sat at home while that person went out and worked or went out and did this or did that. Or maybe you didn't go out, but there was only one person active in that relationship. That person's not going to hang around and wait for you. It's the same with God. You have to have an active, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ as you're going through your life. You cannot just sit idly by and sit and wait for things to happen. You can't accept Christ into your heart and then just sit there and do nothing. He has called us to go. Go. That's our first sign, right? I mean, you don't plan a vacation. You don't, you know, make reservations at a hotel, buy plane tickets, load up the luggage, get the kids in the car, turn on the ignition, and then sit in the driveway. It'd be really pointless. You can't just sit in the driveway. So God has commanded us to go, and it's found in Matthew 28, 18 through 28. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Go. Oh, and teaching them, sorry. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. But go, get up, move. How easy is it? I mean, it's right there. Go. Now, when I first heard this passage, it's a little intimidating, right? You think, well, I can't do that. I don't know how to make disciples of people. I don't know how to go out and work for Jesus. I mean, this must be for the other people. This must be for those established Christians. This must be for the elders or the deacons, for the people that have been around for a while. I can't do this. I don't have any skills or talents that can affect people's lives. Well, guess what? You're wrong. Because in the latter part of verse 20, in 20b, what does he say? "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I like how the Message puts it. "I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up into the end of age." We're not alone. He promises us to go, and he will be with us. I mean, he doesn't want you to fail. He's not going to put you in a place where you're going to fail. He's going to put you in a place where your skills and your abilities are enabling you to do the things that he wants you to do. He has the power and the righteousness to say, "You know what? You're going to do this. Don't be afraid. I'm right here with you." You have the best navigator, co-pilot, holy passenger on the life of highway riding along with you. He is sitting there wanting you to be successful. And he will meet you at where you're at. He will develop you at where you're at. And as you get more and more under your belt, and the more and more that you do this, and you share his love, and you share his testimony, how much more wonderful will it be as you accomplish more and more for the kingdom of God? All right. Where to go? Where to get going? Get up and move. And we've got the right passenger in the car with us. Right? So you're cruising down the highway, and you got everything going along good. Horizon looks good. And all of a sudden, what happens? Life happens. Certain things start making the road seem a little uneven. Caution comes up. Road work. Things are getting a little bumpy. Things are slowing down. They're not meeting the pace that you're used to. And what happens when this happens? You get traffic. How many people here like to wait in traffic? How many people here, when they see traffic like this, start looking for a way around the traffic? They want to veer and go away. Well, this is life. This could be relationships, finances, school, work, health. What is it that is happening in your life that is bumpy and slowing you down? That's making you feel like, "Man, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to go down this road." The things aren't moving at the pace that you want. You're feeling anxious and distracted. You can't keep your eyes on the road. You're looking for a way out of this mess. You're thinking, "I can't do this anymore." You start looking for the fastest way off the road. You start looking for an easy exit. Any exit. Doesn't matter. I want to get off of this highway. I don't want to do this anymore. Well, there's some warning signs. Stop. Wrong way. Do not enter. These are warning signs for your life, people. Don't go down that highway. Don't go down that exit. If you go down this exit, I guarantee you there's going to be trouble. Just if you were to go down this exit in real life in your car, there's going to be trouble. You're headed for a head-on collision with something pretty disastrous. To me, this tells me that when we try to escape from where we're going, we're trying to get away from where we're going, we're trying to get away from what God wants us to do, and we're reverting back to our old ways, our old habits, our old addictions, our old way of life. Where we are in control, we don't allow God to be in control. And we're saying, I don't want to do this. I want to do it my way. I want to do it my way. A collision with the old you. I encourage you to stay strong, focused, and stay on your path. Stay in Christ. It's stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Don't fall back to what you were. You need to allow God to direct you. You need to let go of all of those things that you need to let go of. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. But you need to trust that God is going to get you through. The bumpiness will end. The road will smooth out. And Christ will be with you and guide you through this rough time. I can't imagine that He created and designed, made you to fail. He made you to be successful, to get through these trials, to get through these tribulations. As I stated earlier, I've been unemployed. And I've had my shares of doubt. But through it all, Jesus has been with me and guiding me. He's allowed me to spend more time with my children. He's allowed me to help more with those others that are in need. He's allowed me to volunteer more within the church. He's using me in ways that can better His kingdom because I've allowed myself to slow down. I didn't get off that exit. I didn't try to do something that I wasn't supposed to do. I was staying focused to what God wanted me to do. Wherever you are in your journey, keep Christ involved and active in it, for He will help you through these rough times. He will give you the endurance, the strength, and perseverance to make it through. And when you come out on the other side, you'll have a much better appreciation for where you were at, and you'll be blessed for it. I asked my wife if I could share this story, and she said yes. We went through a really rough time. Before we had our three beautiful children, we had two miscarriages, and they were very rough. More so for her, but they were rough. But many years later, we come to a point where we still miss the fact that we had two children that we couldn't appreciate or have with us and grow and watch nurture with us. But some friends of ours that used to go to our church and no longer do, they lost their child. And we were able to give words of comfort, words of encouragement, words of support and love, because we had gone through it, and it was horrible, and it's terrifying, and it's scary. But because we put our faith in God and we allowed God to direct our lives, we know that we could use it for a better plan. In James 1:12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because in having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. It's going to be a rough road. I can guarantee you, life is going to give you those bumps, and it's going to be really hard sometimes. But you know what? You can do it. Again, because you have that great navigator right next to you, He can do it with you. Now, sometimes you got off on that exit
forgot I put this here.
You might get off on that exit and you can't get back. And maybe you've had that collision and you've lost hope. And you can't find a way to get back. And you're feeling lost. You lost your faith. You lost your hope. Well, I wanted to share with you a little bit that this next sign, there is hope. And it may not come in Jesus Christ, but you have a call box. I'm going to share a little story with you. I have a friend that I made in this church. And right now, I consider him my brother in all aspects. I love him like I would have my own real brother. We met through the church and through activities and through different events, and slowly our relationship built, and slowly we developed a friendship, and then slowly we developed brotherly love. Well, one time this brother, he called me and he said, "Greg, I need to talk." And I can tell by his voice that something was wrong. I said, "Sure, come on over." He said, "Well, I'm right around the corner. I'll be there in just a minute." And I said, "Well, I'm going to go meet him outside, because if I had the family, and if he was pretty distraught, I wanted to be there to see what I could do." He pulled up, and I could tell immediately once he got out of the car that something was wrong. He was in a bad place, a dark place. He had lost all hope. He had lost all faith. I couldn't even get a word out, and he was already crying. He was already, and not just tears, but sobbing. He had lost his hope in everything. And so here's two grown men out in my driveway, and I'm just holding them. And I'm just telling them I love them. And I'm just telling them it's going to be okay. You can find your way back. You can get back onto that freeway. You can get back to Jesus, and I'm going to be right there with you. I'm going to walk alongside with you. I'm going to check in with you. I'm going to keep you accountable to the promises that you've made to me. He had a lifeline. He had the emergency call box. He was able to call and say, "I need help." He lost his way. He couldn't find his way back. And I'm so proud and happy to say today he has got his love of life back. He's got his love of Jesus back. He has his hope. He has his faith. He is serving this community. He is serving God. Because he was able to reach out and humble himself and say, "I need help." And I wonder, in this world today, how many people don't have someone that they can call out to? How many people in this church don't have someone that they can call out to? Sometimes people during our life group promotions, they kept coming up, "Why do we need life groups? Why do we need to go to these things? I'm perfectly content with where I'm at." Well, you know, life groups aren't about, it's not just a church promotion. We're not just trying to herd you and get number. No. This is about building relationships, building bonds, building friendships, building the ability so that you can find someone that if you are in a tough time and you need to call someone, it's there. You've built that relationship. Let go of the insecurity that you think you can handle it all. Let go of it that you think you can do it just without any help. Can you humble yourself and say, "I sometimes need help. I sometimes need people to come alongside me. I sometimes need people to keep me accountable and keep me in check. But I also need to be able to call for help, or I can be there for someone else. Maybe you're missing out on providing help for someone else." So we're going down life. We got the highway. We're checked in. We got Jesus. We accidentally went off the side of the road. We made the collision, but now we're back on. We've got the hope. We've got the faith. We got everything. And Jesus is all right with me. And he's sitting there, and we're cruising down the highway. Well, sometimes we need to, we get a little tired. Sometimes we might be working for Jesus for a long time, and just like on any road trip, you might need to pull over and take a break. You might need to rest. Charge your batteries. Get focused. Now, this can mean so many things in the Bible. You know, God rested on the seventh day. There's, you know, rest in him, carry his yoke. But to me, rest means prayer. Prayer. go and be and spend time with God. Find your rest in Him. We're constantly on the move. We're constantly going and moving and chugging along. But rest. Now, rest doesn't mean that you continue to babble on when you go to Him in prayer. You don't say, God, I'm so tired of all this. I just want to, can you just make this better? God, can you just make this a better place for me? Wah. That's not what it means. Go and rest. Be still. Be quiet. Fall on your knee and come to God and say, God, I'm tired. And I want to be with you. Matthew 6:7 says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Just be still. Be quiet. Allow God to speak to you. I have 3 beautiful children, and this would be the point where I put a picture up. But I won't. There are times when they think they know what they want or need, and sometimes it's all 3 of them at the same time. And it's, I need this, I want this, I need this, I want that. But I want this, Dad, don't tell me. But really, listen. They don't hear me. Why? Because they're talking over me. I wonder if God, I really think that God sometimes when we're doing that, it's the Charlie Brown teacher. Wah, 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 wah. And God's just waiting. All right, when you're done, let me know. It's the same thing with my children. When you're done, let me know. And I find great joy and great comfort and peace when I can hold them in my arms, when they finally have calmed down to their wants and needs and desires and their gnashing of teeth and their whole way of life. But when I'm able to talk with them and share with them why it is or what it is that they really need. And I love it when we've talked for a while and then they slowly fall asleep and you can kind of hold them in your arms. And I picture that with God too. When we are still and quiet and we stop all the activity and all the I want, I need, and how He is holding us in His arms. Find your peace and comfort in Him. Find your rest. And He will share with you many great things. Be still. Now, I know prayer is hard for people. Setting time aside for prayer is hard for people. And I want to encourage you that if you don't have an active prayer life, you need to start today. Right here. Right now. I want to do a little prayer with you right now. If you can join me in prayer. God, I know I don't come to You often enough in prayer. I know that when I do come, it's all about what I want or need. But God, I want to be with You. And I want to be still in Your presence, Father. I want to be quiet and I want to hear Your voice. And I want to learn what it is that You want for me, Lord. Help me discard all my own desires. And Father, give me the ability to start coming to You in all things and at all times. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Start your prayer and be still. You don't have to be always wanting something. Allow God to show you what He wants. He's with you on this journey. It sometimes is good when you can communicate with the person next to you. Well, if God's with you on this journey in life, then you need to allow Him to speak to you. Well, we've rested. We're back on the road. We're learning what it is that Jesus wants us to do, and it's time to get back out there. Well, I'm coming up to our last 2 signs. Go ahead and put the fork in the road up. A lot of people may think, well, this is when you make a decision to accept Christ in your life. Well, it is. You are correct. But it applies to us as Christians as well, because every day when we wake up, we have that same choice, don't we? We have that same choice to say, I'm going to continue to follow Christ, I'm going to continue to go down the road with him, or I can choose not to. I encourage you to choose to follow Christ. There have been many Christian leaders and Christian people in the world that have come to this fork in the road and said, you know what? I don't want to follow him anymore. They were hurt by the church, they were hurt by their families, they were hurt by other circumstances, and they said, my God wouldn't allow this to happen, so I'm not going to follow him anymore. Every day we have a fork in the road. Every day we get to decide if we're going to continue to follow Christ. You have that choice every morning. Now maybe you haven't accepted Christ, and maybe you're here today and you're hearing this for the very first time. And maybe you're going down your highway, your road, your path, and you feel alone, and maybe you feel scared, or maybe you think that there is more to this life and you want to learn more about that. And you come to this fork in the road. You have that choice. You can start that relationship with him today. You can accept him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, ask forgiveness of your sins, and make that decision today. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, how do I get back to that fork in the road? I'm going down the road, and I don't like what I see. Well, there's one more sign for you. You can turn around. You can go back to that fork, and you can make that decision. But you have to remember, and you have to be ready to allow Jesus to lead you in your life. Life is a highway. Are you partnering with Jesus today? Are you going to allow him to lead you? In a couple minutes, we're going to have the band come up here, and we're going to have a special song. And I really want to encourage you to come on up, Jerry. Bring your band. I really want to encourage you to, it's not too late to turn around. It's not too late to accept Jesus and allow him to be your leader in your life. It's not too late to go down your highway in life and have Jesus be your co-pilot, your navigator, your passenger, your guide. And as we listen to this song, just take a few moments to think about where you are in your walk. And you can be a mature Christian, and maybe you've lost your way a little bit. Allow God to lead you down your highway.